listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound. If you're looking for a pregame party, Dog Pound Drive is the official Cleveland Browns pregame party. It's back this season. The party kicks off 3 hours before every Browns home game on the south side of First Energy Stadium. Enjoy beer, food trucks, and music from the DJs, live bands. Catch the next Dog Pound Drive pregame party on Sunday, September the 20th, for the Cleveland Browns home opener against the Tennessee Titans. Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zagura, with our special guest, KC. Yeah, baby! Right here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. You got a date Wednesday. That's right. And you can stay tuned, not to promote, but I'll promote. I will. I'm not afraid. The Cleveland Browns preview show tonight, 7 o'clock, right here, ESPN 850 and 92.3, the Fan, Ken Carmen and Gerard Cherry. Dino, come on in here and let's go around the league.
Yes. All right, guys.
Number one.
Yeah, give my best to KC, man. Love Ken Carmen. All right.
Fine man.
He is fine man. All right, around the league. Guys, let's start here first. The team that turned your head this weekend, for better or for worse, was whom?
For me, it's got to be the Cleveland Browns. We talk about them every day.
Good God, man.
And I expect more. The same thing that Coach Pettine said of his locker room, of himself, of his staff. This fan base expects more. And I thought I knew who they were after being here as much as we're here. And for me, they're the team that gets my nod.
And that is not an unfair take at all. It's actually a very fair take. I'm going to keep it here in this very same game. And I'm going to say the Tennessee Titans, because anytime a rookie quarterback can come out in his National Football League debut and throw the ball 16 times and have four of them be touchdowns and have a perfect quarterback rating against another team that's got, you know, Gerald McCoy, Lavonte David, Deshaun Gold, some good players over there in Tampa. And did it matter? No, it did not. So I'd say the Tennessee Titans, I don't think anybody had them going out and winning 42-14 in the season opener, and that's exactly what they did. So we're going to find out. Are they as good as they looked, and are the Browns as bad as they looked? I think the answer is no on both counts.
Number two.
All right, outside of the Browns, the team that was most disappointing over the weekend was blank.
I would have to say...
Ooh, that's easy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, you want to think about it?
Go ahead, yeah.
For me, the Denver Broncos.
That's where I was going
to
go.
And how can they be the most disappointing? They beat the Baltimore Ravens. Right. They're supposed to go to the Super Bowl, but I'll tell you what.
That's what I was going to say, and then I put myself into question, so I'm glad you edified my point.
Let's go, man. Anytime. People were like of the same brain. It's a beautiful thing. I was just dumbfounded by their offensive performance in that game. Dumbfounded. And here's a fun little stat, because as I was doing
I know you love your
for
stats.
For the fantasy fact sheet, which you can get at FanDuel.com's Insider. Listen to this. Peyton Manning, who I believe was playing with a giant fork in his back, because I do believe that he is done, has now gone without a touchdown pass in three of his last five games. Prior to week 14 of 2014, when this streak started, he had gone 51 straight games with at least one passing touchdown and had multiple passing touchdowns in 45 of them.
Wow.
45 of them. He has not gone without a touchdown pass in three out of five games in a five-game stretch since weeks 12 through 16 of 2003.
12 years ago.
12 years ago. His 4.4 yards per attempt in week one were the second lowest of his Denver career, the fifth lowest of his entire career, and marked the first time since week 10 of 1998, his rookie season, that he threw the ball 40 times in a game and failed to produce 200 yards passing.
So it's all, in this case, it's all him.
I think he's done.
Is it the Kubiak system? Is it the playmakers?
He's Dunsky?
We're going to find out, and I'll give him one more week before I twist that fork into his back.
Wow. Because you think he knows that?
I think that he is going to be – if they let him be the offensive coordinator this week and he's still bad, then I'll be concerned. It could be the switch to the Kubiak offense, but the guy's an offense coordinator. Let him do what he does.
Right.
Because this was not okay.
Listen, this is not okay.
Listen. It was the first time since his rookie season that he threw the ball 40 times in a game and didn't have 200 yards passing.
He's never played the game.
He fumbled on his first touch, Dino. Jared Hayden.
Yeah, you know what?
But he bounced back with an elusive move in the open field.
I'll throw one out there. I thought Teddy Bridgewater in the Minnesota Vikings performance on Monday Night Football was very disappointing.
Very disappointing indeed. And really, I mean, Teddy's numbers at the end of the day, 22 of 32, 231 yards, 7 yards attempt, had the one bad interception, but he got sacked 5 times in that game. He got hit 8 more times.
Theodore.
They lost their center, their right tackle, and forget Teddy. Adrian Peterson, 10 carries, 31 yards. You get a turnover deep in 49ers territory to start the game off of a blocked field goal, and you come out and you go pass, pass, pass? What is that all about? He looked stiff.
He hasn't played the game in a long time.
He looked stiff. He did not look like Adrian Peterson. Carlos Hyde looked a heck of a lot more like Adrian Peterson than Adrian Peterson, and they were both wearing 28. I like those Black Niners unis, by the way.
Did you like them?
I did.
I wish that they could have had an alternate, like, matte red helmet, and it would have just looked like hot fire. The gold helmet just didn't go with
black
and red.
But now, aren't the teams having to wear their main helmet?
With everything.
With everything now.
You can have one throwback helmet.
One throwback helmet. So essentially, but they're not throwback, they're alternate, so they have to wear their
gold. Yeah. If they could have worn, like, a black helmet, a red helmet.
I know the Ohio State Buckeyes are going to have a black helmet this year.
I like that. The more black, the better.
Is that the Penn State game?
I believe it's Michigan State.
I wish I had a black truck like you do, Ken Carmen.
Well, yeah. I'm going to see that black truck.
We can't all
about
be as cool as
Ken. No.
I mean, we just can't be. Number three. All right, let's go out to the NFC West, guys. Should the Seahawks be concerned after their performance Sunday, or are the Rams legit?
I'll go. I think it's a combination of both. It's about time for the Rams to be legit. I mean, all the picks that they got from the RG3 trade, it's about time that some of those turn into productive football players. And they're picking in the, in the front half of the NFL draft each and every year on top of those picks. So, and Jeff Fisher's been tagged since leaving Tennessee as such a great coach and not really even competing in that division with the emergence of the 49ers over the past 5 years and the Seahawks. So that's Rams. So, yes, they're playing better finally. And to kind of, I guess, come to the defense of the Seattle Seahawks, they have had a tumultuous offseason as well. Cam Chancellor's still out, so they're playing with one of their starting safeties. And I just feel if you know the NFC West, the St. Louis Rams always play Seattle tough. The St. Louis Rams always play the Cardinals and Niners tough. It just so happens they always somehow down the stretch either screw it up or that team makes the play.
In the heyday of the 49ers and their big run, they struggled with the Rams every year. Their defensive front may very well be the best in the NFL. They sacked Russell Wilson 6 times. They hit him 9 more times. They were dominant. The question for them is, can they score enough points? And in this one, they did. I believe where I'm concerned about Seattle, I don't think the Legion of Boom doesn't exist anymore. You're down to Richard Sherman as really your only corner of note. Mm-hmm. Right now you don't have Cam Chancellor. So you went from having, for a while, Byron Maxwell was like your fifth corner, and you had Brandon Browner. And then, so they have had a big depletion. Walter Thurman III was there and played very well. They have had a huge depletion in their secondary. I don't think their offensive line is all that good. And they made a trade of, Unger to get Jimmy Graham. I'm not worried about them per se. I think they're still going to be a very, very good football team, but I think the aura of invincibility is gone, and I'd go so far as to say I believe St. Louis has a better defense now than Seattle.
Yeah, I would say that as well.
That's it, guys. We're out. Show over.
Oh, my
5 hours
goodness.
Down.
5 yes. hours down
Five
on the day.
5 hours down, guys.
$272,000 later.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
For a lot of good kids.
Yes.
Score one for the kids. You know who said that? Ken Carmen? Can you give me a nod? George Mirasan, one of the great TV advertisements of all time. Score one for the kids, and that's what they did. So thanks, everybody, who helped support the Cleveland Browns Radiothon today. Also, thanks, everybody, who called up today as well and got in the mix with us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Unfortunately, I will not be with the Golden Boys today
yesterday. Back in your seat today.
Yeah, I was back in my normal home, and it reunited, and it felt so good, Matt Wilhelm. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily tomorrow. For Dave DiNatale and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.